Are you familiar with a common childhood game called telephone, where we sit in a circle and whisper from one person to the next until the final player gets to reveal a comically distorted original message? Well, what if we play that game a bit differently? What if we played it with the intent and purpose of producing the most terrifying and alarming headlines possible? Sadly, that is exactly what is happening today in the sleep world. We're going to take a look at a perfect example of how this terrifying game of telephone is being played by much of the mainstream media, picking up storylines from academia and then distorting them until they reach alarming proportions. And we're going to look at an email from Oliver in today's episode of Heard Online. If you're new to the channel, Heard Online is where we take a critical look at things we hear on the World Wide Web and see if those claims are true or not. So without further ado, let me actually jump into this very email from Oliver that was forwarded to me from Nerissa a couple of days ago. And get ready. This is going to be another wild ride into quite heartbreaking and upsetting territory, to be quite honest with you. So without further ado, this came in a couple of days ago. Let's read it together. Oliver says, "I'd love to believe your message to be true, but these news stories don't stop. I listen to Martin Reed as well as you guys. You're great for putting us with chronic insomnia at ease over our health due to the limited sleep we get, not due to lack of effort. We would love to sleep more, but it doesn't seem to happen. Why are we bombarded with these news stories about how lack of sleep is critical to our health? Are they influenced by lobbyists in the sleep industry so more products can be sold? Are they speaking the truth and we are wishfully thinking that our 4 or 5 hours a night isn't going to put us in an early grave? Anyway, thanks for the community and the positive messaging you put out there. Thought you'd like to be aware of yet another negative sleep article. You all are a minority in giving hope to the sleepless. Thanks, Oliver." And here is the link to the article he mentioned. So first of all, thank you, Oliver, for the support and for giving us the chance to take a look at this. So what we're going to do is actually start with the article from, the scientific article, and then we're going to jump into the article Oliver mentioned, because it makes so much more sense when we see kind of this game of telephone being played. So we're going to look at the original message first. The original message that came from a research study. So we'll take a brief look at this, and then I have the breakdown and prepared already. So this was published in July of this year in NPJ Digital Medicine. Never heard of this journal, which may tell you a little bit about the quality of the study. Now the headline is "Age Estimation from Sleep Studies Using Deep Learning Predicts Life Expectancy." And this, in fact, features Emmanuel Mignot, which is a very, very well-known person in the sleep. And Susan Redline is here too. Very well-known people in the sleep universe. And I was quite surprised that they were willing to put their names on this, to be quite honest with you. So without going to, we're going to look at one graph from this, but basically this is the rundown. So they took like they pooled polysomnographic data, which is basically when you sleep with like all these wires and electrodes on you. Like they check, your breathing, your EEG pattern, your how your muscle tone and things of that nature. And so they took, they used like machine learning or artificial intelligence to analyze 2,500 of these polysomnographic studies in people that were on average about, the average age was, I think, 66 years old or so. And this was, again, this was multiple studies, like 5 or 6 big studies that they had kind of pooled together. And the instruction to the like machine here was like, try to predict the age of this person based on like the information you have. And when the machines did this, they were like somewhat successful, right? They were fairly accurate within a 10-year, like, or actually like a several year, range. So if somebody was, let's say, 62, the machine would guess somewhere between, like, you know, 52 and 72, something like that. So it's, you know, somewhat correlated. They were somewhat successful. Now, here's the thing, though. Like, if we think about this, like, what would we expect to see? Well, elderly people do have more health issues. And unsurprisingly, this is reflected in how we sleep, how our sleep looks. And, like, the one of the main determinants, like the main factors that enable these machines to guess how old a person was what's called a sleep disruption or sleep fragmentation, which is basically how often we have these, like, little brief wake-ups that we don't even remember. And as you may, you know, easily see, that happens more as we age. Like, you know, a 5-year-old child has very little sleep fragmentation, and the older we do, the more we have. And part of that is kind of like just general aging. Everything does to some degree degenerate with age, right? But also due to health issues. So to kind of clarify this, imagine a 75-year-old who has congestive heart failure, they have diabetes mellitus, they have COPD, they take many, many medications. Will they have more or less consolidated, you know, straight sleep than a person of similar age with no health issues at all, right? It doesn't take, you know, a rocket scientist to see that, of course, the person with more health issues will have more fragmented sleep, you know? And that's kind of the first thing that really popped out to me, like, when I saw this, like, oh, yeah, there's no surprise there whatsoever. But basically what this boils down to is, you know, there's a lot of things you could, you know, that there's a lot of data here, but it kind of boils down to, like, this graph here, where the researchers say that, okay, if you look at these two curves, this on this axis, we have a follow-up year. So let's say most, you know, the average age of somebody that was part of any of these studies was 66. So the follow-up was 18 years was the most. So here somebody was, let's say, 66, and here they were, like, you know, 70, or was this 84? Yeah, 84, right? So what is their survival rate, where one is 100% and this becomes 60%, right? So here in blue, we have minus 10 AEE, which means that the machine had estimated that they were actually 10 years younger, you know, so they were actually, let's say, 76, but based on kind of the machine looking at their age, they thought they were 66, okay? And the red, we have the opposite, where somebody was actually, let's say, 66, but the machine, based on their sleep, said, I think I think this person is 76. So this is what they called sleep age. In the other article we'll look at. So if you have a higher sleep age, you know, they say that you were, your mortality risk was higher. And this is what they say is reflected here, that, you know, there was at 16 years, after the studies, they began looking at this, the survival rate here was 65%, and here was, like, you know, 78% or something like that. And now, when you look at this without knowing anything further, it can be like, oh, whoa, this looks really scary and whatnot. But in reality, there's, in my opinion, absolutely nothing surprising whatsoever here. The thing is, as we just talked about, if you have a lot of health issues, of course you will have more fragmented sleep. Of course your sleep will look, quote unquote, older. But not only that, what we just looked at is actually just a model. It's just like data put into a machine that is asked to, like, predict. Can you predict mortality based on these things? And anyone who's worked with the models knows that there's so many things you can, like, there's one little input here can change the entire model. So you never know to what degree they finessed and tweaked and massaged these models. I don't know anything further more than I just share with you, so I'm not, like, accusing anybody of, like, foul play or anything, but models are very, very tricky. What we saw is not, like, a randomized controlled study, prospective study with, like, you know, this is just a model with, like, nothing surprising whatsoever in these results. Now, what the authors of this research study, like, what their conclusion is what they call AEE, which is age estimation error. They say, oh, we have found a new kind of predictor of overall health, which can be helpful, you know? So I don't know what they're imagining. Do they imagine that we should do like sleep studies on like people randomly and then say, oh, your age estimation shows this. And then what? Like, what's our intervention? If they have diabetes, should we be like, treat your diabetes? But we would do that anyway, right? So very, 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 very unclear to me, like where this takes us at all. And maybe this is reflected in like, this is published in NPJ journal, you know, what do I know? Anyways, this is sort of like the initial whisper of the game of telephone, okay? And now we're going to see what happens, like as this message gets, gets worked on further by this media outlet, which I think we are all going to be familiar with. It is, this article actually came from the Daily Mirror and Daily Mail, Daily Mail. And, you know, actually just landing here, you know, it tells you a lot. As I was, you know, looking at this before, I had to constantly fight these like pop-ups, like right and left. This is clearly, an outlet that wants attention, you know, things are just kind of like popping up right and left. So anyway, let's read the headline here. Reducing the amount of disruptions to your sleep and making sure you're well rested each night can lower your sleep age and extend your life up to 8.7 years, study finds. Well, first of all, the trigger meter, this is kind of, I you can barely go higher. I say this out of 0.5, this is like a 4.5. This is a really very, very triggering article. And not only that, you can see just immediately, you can see how this game of telephone has been played. There's nothing in the study that's saying that if you like make sure you sleep more, that you can extend your life up 7 years. The study didn't say that whatsoever. That is completely inaccurate. Researchers found that a person's sleep age is primarily determined by the amount of sleep disruptions. That's actually true. Reducing disruptions and lowering sleep age can help a person extend their lifespan. There was nothing about that. There was nothing about that whatsoever. Now, in here, experts recommend the person keep a consistent sleep schedule, avoiding alcohol and caffeine. Well, there's a lot of people saying that, but that has nothing to do with the research article that, you know, this article in the Daily Mail is like written about. So, I don't even know if there's more for us to say here. Let's take a look. We already talked about this. This means that. There was actually something else. Many people were either 10 years older or younger in the sleep age when compared to real age, indicating that there were significant differences. What I wanted to say here was actually, they point out somewhere that most people don't even know how many disruptions they have, which, you know, just creates more confusion when they talk about that. Experts are not yet exactly sure why these sleep disruptions play such a large role in overall health, though. And this is kind of this misleading things. Like, they didn't say that they didn't say that these sleep disruptions cause any issues, but the way it's written here in the Daily Mail suggests that the researchers thought so. And yeah, we'll just call it a day there. Oliver, I hope it's helpful to you to know what we just talked about. And I say this so often, but often I find like, okay, now we found the most upsetting, or you know, the most upsetting thing ever, but there keeps being like new things that are even more upsetting. And this one was like, you know, the only, to me, going back to what Oliver said in his email, to me, the only reason you write an article like this is because you know that this is going to be really, really triggering. And headline like this one is going to be really, really triggering. And to me, there is an obvious like lack of interest in conveying what, you know, what was in the actual original article, which in itself was, I think that in itself, the original article also portrays things in a way that is not very helpful at all. Instead of saying like, yeah, this is of course expected, like who would think we would find anything else, it is kind of like insinuated that there's something new here, but blah, 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 blah. Well, I will end today's Herd Online here. And as always, let me know in the comments what you thought. And we'll end there. hope to see you back here soon. And hopefully soon we'll have a more uplifting Heard and Long episode, which is always nice. But anyways, hope you have a beautiful day and this was helpful to you. Bye for now.